day. Let's pray. Lord, in the darkness of night and in the brightness of day, you're always present with us. And as we wrestle with situations which seem to drain our energy, and as we struggle to find out who you call us to be, Lord, you reach out to us with reassurance of courage for the days that are ahead of us. So, Lord, we would ask this time, in this time together, that you would calm our spirits and prepare our hearts and our lives to receive your awesome grace today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So whether we're meeting in person or you're joining us in one of the campus churches, or you're at home or traveling or wherever you are, we're coming into the time of the service where we get to share our joys and our concerns, lift up those things where we've seen God working in our lives to share those answered prayers. Answered prayers always help people realize that God is still active in our lives each and every day. And then also those concerns. God tells us, come before me. Pray without ceasing. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Lay those things on God. So that's what we do during this time of prayer. So allow me to pray for us as we come to this time before God. Gracious God, we're gathered here this morning to give you the honor and the praise that you deserve. Yet even in this room, there's a mixture of feelings today. We come to this space with different needs. Some of us come wrestling with problems that just threaten to overwhelm us, Lord. Some of us are crying out for healing or for relevance, for refuge. And some of us, Lord, come just hungering for what you, God alone, can provide for us. In this time and in this place, you're here and you meet us face to face. And some of us are rejoicing in the wonderful time of rest and relaxation, while others continue to seek relief from the burdens and the worries that they've carried through our front door. But all of us stand in need of your refreshing and nourishing love and forgiveness, because we all know that we've missed the opportunity to be your light somewhere and at some time. You know exactly how many times we've turned our backs on those in need, Lord. Either we've been too busy, too preoccupied with our own problems or other things. So today, we would ask that you would guide us to turn around, see the prospects in which we can be of help and comfort to someone else. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to truly be your loving disciples in the ways which we care for others. Forgive us when we stray from the paths of righteousness and peace. Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to hear again this familiar story of Jacob as he wrestled with the angel, how he asked the angel to bless him. So we too come seeking your blessing. There's so many times in our lives in which we felt alienated or downtrodden, alone, and it's easier for us to wallow in that misery. It's easy for us to whine about all the perceived injustices that have been heaped upon us. But you encourage us to stand strong, to seek the blessings that you've provided for each one of us, to recognize the many ways that you're with us, Lord. Give us strength and courage. Be with us again, precious Lord. Guide our lives. As we brought before you our prayers for those who are near and dear to us, seeking healing and hope, let us also remember that those same mercies are lavished upon us, not because we deserve them, but because of your great and generous love for us. Lord, help us to receive these blessings and in turn, be a blessing to someone else. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So as I mentioned in our prayer, we're going to hear the story again of how Jacob wrestled with God. And this story comes in Genesis chapter 32, and it's verses 22 to 31. So let me read that for you. It said, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford to the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, some of us are some of life's most crucial turning points are recognizable only when we look back, only in retrospect. It's when we look back and we reflect on those decisions that we made thoughtlessly or casually, that we can see the impact that those decisions had on our lives. But there are other times we're completely aware of the outcome of a decision. Sometimes we know exactly what's going to happen when we make a decision. Even as we're in the midst of struggles sometimes. I'm sure you've heard the phrase that perception becomes reality. Well, our lack of perception sometimes is the reason why we need God's guidance in our lives, our lack of perception. I just read the Bible's description of one of those crucial turning points in the life of Jacob. A turning point that comes as he wrestled through the night with this messenger or God. You see, Jacob, his whole life he had been a bit of a con man. But his future life is about to change. After this wrestling match, Jacob is going to go from being a con man, whose name actually meant thief, to a man of faith, whose name would be Israel, which means one who prevails with God. As we look at this pilgrimage of the man for whom the nation of Israel is named, we can see turning points that parallel our own lives. Jacob grew up in what we would call today a dysfunctional family. His mother, Rebecca, was a strong-willed woman who had traveled across deserts and mountains to marry Isaac, the son of Abraham, without ever meeting Jacob or Isaac. With that kind of a driven personality, it's no surprise to find her aggressively trying to assist her favorite son, Jacob, in the struggle to secure his twin's birthright and the blessing of his father. Rebecca was the one who set an example for Jacob. So his perception of how things are done became his reality. The stage was set for Jacob to deceive his blind father Isaac into thinking that he was giving his blessing to Esau, Jacob's brother. He also took advantage of his brother, the hunter, Esau. At the same time, when Esau was actually quite vulnerable, Esau had been out hunting. Maybe a lot of us can relate with Esau. Esau had been hunting, and he came in from the hunt, and he was famished. And Jacob, his younger brother by moments, actually tricked Esau into trading a meal of lentils in exchange for his entire birthright. It seems that for most of his life, Jacob wrestled within himself on how to connive people into getting exactly what he wanted for himself. But how blessed are we when we wrestle with things in our own lives and hit those turning points when our wills actually begin to submit to God's will. Jacob had those turning points too. His first turning point, or the first turning point for Jacob, came like many of ours do. It happened when he was in trouble. He was running from the consequences of his own actions. He finds himself alone, sleeping on the ground with a rock for a pillow. He had a vision in a dream. In his dream, God was at the top of a ladder, and his angels were ascending and descending on that ladder from the sky. Then God promises Jacob that he'll carry on the promises that God made to Abraham. Here's what God said. He said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Here's the one thing that happens in this dream. Jacob finds out that God is bigger than he had ever thought he could be. He had always seen God as limited only to the place that his family actually occupied at that point. And now he says, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. Jacob understands God his understanding of God has been expanded. The vision is an insight to what kind of grace God offers, to the actual grace that is God. Jacob wrestles with the idea that God can bring assurance to this flawed and imperfect man. He now sees that God will actually bless the entire world through him. Here's the amazing thing about this promise. God didn't wait till the perfect day when Jacob could change his attitude or make up for all of his mistakes. He simply declared his invitation to use and to bless Jacob's life right where he was. All of this happened in a place that Jacob called Bethel, the house of God. It marked the first turning point encounter that Jacob had with God in his whole life. How amazing is it that God, who knows all about our weaknesses, doesn't cure those flaws before we're trusted with his purpose and his plan. We don't clean up our acts in hopes that we'd have the opportunity or that we could, we don't clean ourselves up so that we could deserve something like that. Truth is, we can never deserve it. It's only by God's grace that we have blessings that we often take for granted. Now, the next encounter that Jacob had with God comes in the scripture that we've read together today. Jacob had spent about 20 years in a livestock partnership with his mother's brother, Laban. And in Jacob fashion, he leaves that partnership taking exactly and everything that he wants rather than what he actually deserves by being a partner. He ends up making a truce with his father-in-law And they agree to disagree at that point. But also, they agreed not to cross each other's paths ever again. Jacob he no sooner dodges this bullet, and then he hears that his brother that he swindled out of his birthright is on his way with an army of 400 men to see him. You know, no matter what we do, life always has a way of catching up with us. And it seems that's always in those, it always happens when we're in some kind of a crisis, a deep crisis. It's when we feel that we're trapped in a corner. When we have to really wrestle with the realities of our own thoughts and our own actions. In those moments, that's where our greatest turning points often emerge. Jacob was willing to sacrifice his family, all of his possessions, in a time like this. He set everything ahead of him, and he remained on the other side of the Jabbok River all alone. His life is, at this point, has caved in all around him. In the night, he encounters a messenger of God, an angel. And he wrestles with God through the darkness of the night. And Jacob knew at this point, no matter the circumstances, he knew his only hope to salvage the promise that he had already received was to hang on to God. His only option was to pursue the truth, whatever the cost may be. And as he does this, he finds a new perspective about himself, about his purpose in life, about his relationship with others. And he finds the peace to live with the mysteries of God that we receive through God's grace. Think about this. Can you imagine wrestling with God? The fact that you're here today leads me to believe that you can imagine wrestling with God. You've probably had a memory of wrestling with the one who has made you. So let me ask you, what was a turning point in your life? This wrestling match was a turning point for Jacob. And here's why. In that tussle, Jacob wrestled with a penetrating question. What is your name? In essence, God asked Jacob, "Who are you?" Did God really need to know? He already knew. Of course not. God knows every single thing about us. But there and then, Jacob had to come to face with who he had been right up to that moment. He had to come face to face with everything he had done. He had to think about everyone who he hurt in the process. And the honest answer was, "I am Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I'm a thief. I'm a con man. I'm a manipulator." But hear God's grace at this pivotal moment. He says, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome." Friends, when you wrestle with God and you actually take Him seriously, He holds up a mirror that makes you face up to what and who you are. This is so we can experience the element of conviction of sin and a conviction of our shortcomings. So we might have insight into our own perception of who we are. This is grace. This is how we're able to answer that call to repentance. It's only when we have the insight of who we really are That we feel sorrow over what I am and what I've done. It's only then that we can admit that we are absolutely in need of a Redeemer. But a wrestling match with God will also reveal the other side. It will also reveal your best side as well. Dr. Phil on TV likes to say, no matter how thin you cook a pancake, it always has two sides. That mirror that God uses will also reveal the parts of us that he intends to use for his purpose. It makes it possible for you to see through the lens of God, to see the possibilities of what you can be. God opens the world to you as he reveals his intention for you. In these struggles that lead to these turning points, that's where God wants to bring every single human being. To every one of us, he wants to bring us to that point as a way to reveal a new image in which we actually see ourselves. What a different image we get when we get a new perspective. And then that creates a new purpose. Jacob now has a new perspective. He knows that it's not all about him. With this clear view now, Jacob limps away from this encounter with a new attitude. And this new attitude makes him relate differently to other people. And he's going to get a chance to put that new perspective to test really, really soon. Esau, his brother, the one he cheated. Esau is on the road. He's coming to him. Jacob believes wholeheartedly Esau is a man who is hell-bent on revenge. The new Jacob, now Israel, went out and discovered that Esau had experienced a turning point in his life too. He actually found out that Esau is not looking for a fight. He's not seeking justice or payback. He doesn't need Jacob's sheep or he doesn't need Jacob's cows. Esau knows that what he needs is his brother. Hear this. When God alters your understanding of who you are and reveals his purpose for you, something alters in our relationships with others as well. A new kind of love flows through you. Love begets love. The more you give of yourself to God and the more things change in the way that you perceive other people, the more things change in the way that they relate to you as well. It's a beautiful kind of spiritual and psychological, even a physical awareness. God changes the relationships, a relationship as Esau and Jacob discovered the true bond as brothers in the kingdom of God. They found that they didn't have to compete anymore because their hearts had become knit together in forgiveness and in grace. Turning points in our spiritual journey have to come to us again and again and again. We can always be renewed. There's always a chance to be refreshed, rejuvenated in God's service. The essence of the second Bethel experience for Jacob, now Israel, is that God is the God of another chance. I know that there are many of us who are in the dark, wrestling with God on the riverbank of some crisis in our lives. We all get caught between who we were and who we were created to be, hanging on with hope of finding new meaning and a new purpose for our lives. Our youth, they wrestle with getting through school or starting their careers. Others wrestle with health concerns or aging parents or themselves. Some are wrestling with ending of careers or loss of loved ones. The church wrestles with its identity in a changing culture. We all have to wrestle with something. And the change that God has in store for us leads us toward God's goal for each one of us. Each wrestling match that we're in leaves us a bit tattered, a little bit scarred, some bumps and some bruises. And that's a good thing, because we know that God has been with us. And that scar that we carry is a reminder that we've been healed. And yet we're still sent out into service again. Friends, may we find ourselves hanging on to God until we get our blessing, no matter how long we have to wrestle this thing out. To each of us, God calls with this promise: "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Keep this in mind as we come to the table to experience God together. To God be the glory. Amen. Friends, Jacob wrestled through the darkness until he received a blessing in many ways. We all come to this table carrying our own struggles. We wrestle with our past, with our failures, with our fears, our doubts, and even with the people that we've hurt or have hurt us. Yet this table reminds us that our hope is never rested in our ability to win the struggle. Our hope rests in the one who meets us in the struggle. Here Jesus Christ welcomes those who have turned toward Him in faith. Here we discover that God's grace is greater than our sin. His mercy is deeper than our failures. His love is so much stronger than all of our brokenness. So if you desire to repent of your sins, to receive God's forgiveness, and to follow Jesus Christ as Lord, then this table is prepared for you. Come not because you have everything together, but because Christ alone is enough for each of us. Let's pray. Merciful God, like Jacob, we confess that we've often relied on ourselves instead of trusting you. We've sought our own way instead of yours. We've carried pride where there should have been humility, fear where there should have been faith, selfishness where there should have been love. Lord, forgive us. Meet us again in our wrestling. Lord, change our hearts. Renew our minds. Help us to see ourselves through the eyes of your grace and to see others through the eyes of your mercy. Thank you that through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and our lives are made new. Amen. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to you, Lord. And then he broke that bread and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, all of you, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to you, Lord. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, all of you, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins of many. Do this when you drink this. Do it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of God in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as we receive this holy meal. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may receive them in faith and we may be nourished by his grace, strengthened for your service, transformed into his likeness. Just as you changed Jacob into Israel, continue your work of change in us until the world sees Christ living in us. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let's pray. as we come to this time of offering, Lord. First, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given everything for us. We are beyond grateful and thankful and humbled. But we remember, or we're reminded, that Jacob didn't leave the river with more possessions. He actually left with a new heart. God wasn't interested in what Jacob owned nearly as much as who Jacob was becoming. The same is true of us, Lord. Our offering is not simply about dollars and cents. It's an act of trust. It's a declaration that everything we have comes from you, and everything we are belongs to you. We give because you gave first to us, Lord. We give because you continue to meet us in our struggles. You reshape our perspectives and bless us with grace that we could never earn. Lord, as we present these tithings and offerings to you today, may they be an outward expression of hearts that have been, or that have wrestled with you and discovered that your ways are always better than ours. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as we go, we give you thanks, gracious and loving God. We thank you for meeting us where Jacob met you, in the middle of the struggle. We thank you for not walking away when we wrestle with fear or doubt, pride, regret, uncertainty, self-righteousness. Instead, you remain with us until your work in us is complete. Lord, give us the strength to be honest about who we are so that you could shape us into who you created us to be. Change our perception. Help us to see ourselves through the eyes of your grace, to see others through the eyes of your mercy, and to see every circumstance as another opportunity to trust you more deeply. As we leave this place today, remind us that sometimes the greatest blessing comes with a limp. A reminder that we have encountered the living God. May every scar become a testimony of your faithfulness. Every struggle become a place of your transformation. And every turning point become another step toward the people you're calling us to become. Now send us, Lord, into the world with the courage to hold on to you until your work in us is complete. May we leave with a new perspective, a renewed purpose, and hearts that are forever changed by your amazing grace. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.